Morning. Today's daf in Brachos is Chaf. We are on the top of the Amud. We are starting with the words Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaye. We're going to be learning a little bit of Agada today, a little bit of Halacha. It'll be an interesting blend. The Agada today, I would encapsulate the Agada with "Don't try this at home." With some of the Agada today, you will. Shukach. Thank you. Okay, let's begin. So Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaye. So Rav Papa says to Abaye, "Maishna Rishonim Disrachish Lanisa. How is it that the earlier generations said they had a miracle occur to them? Umaishna Anadala Misrachish Lanisa. But we," says Rav Papa, "who are of a later generation, so we don't have miracles." So Rav Papa Abaye. So they are Vitkufas Amarim, the period of the Amarim, and they're about in the center of the period of the Amarim. So they are comparing themselves to earlier generations. We're going to see exactly who are, quote-unquote, the earlier generations. What are they making themselves relative to? But first of all, he's going to make the case that we are not on the level of the earlier generations. They had miracles performed for them. Imisham, Tanuya. So the Gemara says, now, perhaps they're more learned. And he's going to first make the argument that they're not more learned. In fact, we're more learned. So, Bishnei de Rav Yehuda, Kulei Tanuya ben Ezekin, Hava. So during the years of Rav Yehuda, so what were they learning? So by the way, he's comparing himself to earlier generations, Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is not that much earlier, right? Rav Yehuda was the Talmud of Rav. So we're talking about the comparison of Abaye and Rav Papa to that of Rav Yehuda, you know, maybe two generations, perhaps one generation. Anyway, so talking about a precipitous drop in a small amount of historical time, regardless. In the years of Rav Yehuda, so what are they learning? They're learning Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel over here could mean Seder Ezekiel, which is rather amazing because there are five other Siddurim in Shas, and that in the years of Rav Yehuda, they were only learning Ezekiel. That's just reading that and understanding it on simplest level is amazing. But if you look at Rashi over here, Ezekiel have lo hayu gedolim b'chol gemara shel dal Siddurim el b'milsa b'avei shalanu. So Rashi actually reads it exactly like we just read it, meaning, okay, they of course went over the other parts of Shas, but in terms of what they mastered and what they really excelled in, so we're talking about the Baveis, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, Bahai Milsa, Nakat Hacha, Mishum, Demarishamosum, Nafsham, Al Kedushas Hashem. And then Rashi wants to know, why are we discussing this? Meaning it's going to be a great discussion. But why are we discussing it now? So Rashi says, because it goes back to yesterday's Gemara. Yesterday's Gemara in Dafi Testament Beis. So we spoke about Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem, Kavod Abrios. So we are speaking about the Mesiris Nefesh that's required for Halacha and for the Torah. And so Rashi says that's the Hemshach between here and there. V'ad hashta arinami b'mishim mevaza atzmal Kiddush Hashem, livsho kalayim b'shok. And the Rashi says that we're talking about, and it connects to yesterday's daf, because yesterday's daf, you're wearing kalayim, you're in the market, and you discover you're wearing kalayim, so you have to be mevaza atzmo. In other words, you're going to be degrading yourself. And that obviously requires Mesira. So Mesiris Nefesh yesterday, Mesiris Nefesh today. Rashi says that's a connection between yesterday's daf and today's daf. Okay, so Rav Papa and Abaye, let's just reset. Rav Papa and Abaye says, you know, Bizmanenu, we're not eligible for miracles. In the earlier generations, i.e. Rav Yehuda, so they were subject to miracles, and why should that be? And now, for learning, so I'm going to go back. So during the years, so they're learning Nezikin. And we are holding by all six Adarim of the Mishnayos. And when Rav Yehuda got to Uksin, so Haisha Shekovsha Yerek Bekadera, Va'amri La Zesim Shekivshim Batarfeim Tahorim. So the Gemara here quotes two Mishnayos from Uksin. Two Mishnayos. One from the beginning of Taharos, the second parak, first Mishnah. One from the beginning of Uksin, second parak, first Mishnah. And without going through the Mishnayos inside, and without learning the Mishnayos inside, I'm going to put myself in the category of Rabbi Huda right now. So without going through the Mishnayos inside, so in other words, they're difficult Mishnayos, and if you're not holding by Taharos, and you're not holding by the concept of Yados, so you're not going to understand these Mishnahs. So Amar Avayis Rav Shmuka Chazin and Hacha. And when Rabbi Huda saw these Mishnahs, he's basically like, you know, it's like a lot of discussion between Rav and Yehuda. It's difficult. It's a little bit abstract. Like, I don't understand what's going on over here. That's Rav Yehuda's reaction to Mishnayos in Seder Taharos. Now, we set up 13 different yeshivas to learn Seder Uksin, Masechet Uksin. So, okay, fine. So, is it up to learning? So he says it has nothing to do with learning. In fact, just the opposite. We're holding by all six Adarim of Shas, and Rabbi Yehuda was focused primarily on Nezikin, and maybe even just above us. Okay. So it has nothing to do with learning. So Ve'ilu Rabbi Yehuda Ke'avishal Echad Misanei Asimitra. We're going to see a lot of this in Masechta Tanis, where you're davening for rain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to different people differently. And Rabbi Yehuda takes off a shoe, just one shoe. In other words, he's going to sit and fast, and he's going to take off his shoes, and he takes off one shoe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, and the rain comes down. And what are we doing? We're in shul, we're yelling, we're screaming, we're crying, we're fasting, and nothing. And we don't get a response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so obviously we're not on their level, and Abai and Rapapa, they're trying to figure it out. Why are we not on their level, and we're more learned than they are?
Maybe because they didn't take off a shoe. Right?
Well, we're gonna no. So Amrali Kamai have a Kamasra Nafshai Kedusha Sashem Anan La Masrin and Nafshan and Akedusha Sashem. So the Gemara says mysterious nefesh. So the earlier generations were more prepared to be most nefesh. We're not as prepared to be most nefesh as the earlier generations. And the Gemara says, I'll give an example. Now again, I'm gonna throw this under the category of don't try this at home. So the Gemara says, but in terms of the mysterious nefesh that the earlier generations had. So Rav Adar Ba'ava saw a woman, non-Jewish woman, to have a Levisha Karvalasa. She's wearing a Karvalasa. Okay, I know you're wondering what a Karvalasa is. It's a fair question. It's a kind of garment. It was an inappropriate garment. Okay, that's right.
Okay.
Oh, good. I got the basic idea. Okay, good. Okay, wonderful. Anyway, so the Levisha Karvalasa Beshuka, she was wearing it in the marketplace. So she was dressed inappropriately in the marketplace. Savadabasi saw he now, he thought she was a Jewish woman, kam karamina, and he tears the clothing off of her. I know the story's strange, I'm aware of that. But the idea, however, is that for, as far as he was concerned, there was a breach of Kedushas Hashem, there's now Chilul Hashem, and he wants to be Poritz together. And so therefore, yes, it's Mesiris Nefesh. It's a significant Mesiris Nefesh. So Iglaim Milsa Dekusisi, now, Shaimua. So the, I'm sorry, Iglaim Milsa Dekusisi, and he discovers that she's a non-Jewish woman. And so there is obviously a degree, a difference of modesty between the Jew and the non-Jew, and so therefore he shouldn't have done that action. Okay. So the so now, Shaimua. So now they went to court. And now there's a issue of being Mevayish. And Ba'arba Me'azuzay, and he had to pay a lot of money, a significant amount of money. Ksuva is 200 zuz. He had to pay twice the ksuva. It's a significant amount of money. Amrle Mashmeich, and he asks her, what's your name? Amrle, she says back to him, Maton. So she says, Maton. And we see this throughout the Gemara where we plan the name. So Amrle, Maton, Maton, Arba Me'azuzay Shavya. So he says, oh, Maton. Oh, that fits in perfectly with the amount that I have to pay. Now Rashi gives two pshatim over here in terms of how the name is connected to the 400 payment. So one pshat says Rashi is that Masan comes from the word Masayim, which means 200, and then you repeat it, and that's 200 plus 200, that's 400. Or Maton says Rashi, another possible pshat, is that I should have been more patient, right? I was a little bit too quick on the trigger, and I should have handled the situation more patiently. All fair questions, all great follow-up questions. I'm working with the same amount of the incident that you're working with. So the answer is I don't know. I'd love to be the reporter who has the follow-up questions over here, but this is all I got. Okay. Rav Gidol Havaragel de Havaka Azov Yasev Ashar de Tvila. Okay. Again, remember my theme of the day. Don't try this at home. So Rav Gidol was regularly sitting in front of the mikvah. And he was encouraging the woman not only to tovel the mikvah, but telling them the proper halacha. This is what you're supposed to do. This is what you're not supposed to do. The halachas of chatzitza. Okay, there are a lot of detailed halachas. And Amalei Rabbanan, so the rabbis asked Rav Gidol the question that we're all wondering at this very moment. So look, Mastifa Marmi Yetzahara. So okay, fine. Look, in a world without a Yetzahara, so you understand. In other words, there's a halacha consideration over here. And he's got to help the women with the halakhic consideration. But we also live in a world of a Yetzirah. And you put yourself in a position where you are engaging with women at all times and at a very sensitive time when they're going to the mikvah. So you can imagine that it only incites the Yetzirah. And so they're asking him, aren't you concerned about a Yetzirah? So Amalahu Damian Ba'apai Ki Kake Chivir. So he says they're like to me, like white geese. And to give an example of what this means, I'll give a couple of examples of what this means. So first of all, I speak to any physician nowadays, and you'll ask him about looking at women and looking at women at a time where they are not modestly dressed, obviously. But in other words, that's just simply part of the practice. And it gets to a point in time where they just simply see it as a medical consideration. And for the most part, their yetzer is subdued. Obviously, they still have yetzer hara. But in other words, you'll see it as just simply it's a professional relationship. And they look at it more from the medical standpoint than from the yetzer hara standpoint. Okay, that's just one example. The other example, the Gemara Ksuvos, again, falling under the category of don't try this at home. The Gemara Ksuvos in Daf Yud Zayin. So there was a chasna over there. One of the Amorim took the kala and put it on her shoulders. And the student said, you know, Rebbe, that's interesting. That's really interesting. Can we do that? And so and so over there, the Amora, who put her up on the shoulder, said, no, you can't do that. In other words, to me, the Gemara's language over here is the same as is in the Gemara Ksuvos. So to me, I see them as white geese. In other words, to me, I can look at it as objectively, and I don't have a Yetzer Hara, and good. So for me, it works. But okay, for you, he said to the Talmidim, point blank, it's not for you. Okay, so that is a story with Rav Gidol. Rav Yochanan Havaragel. And again, by the way, I'm assuming that the Gemara is telling these stories because of the idea of Moser Nefesh, Mesiris Nefesh. Rav Yochanan Havaragel, the Havaka Azel, the Yasef Ashar de Tfila, and Rav Yochanan himself would go to the mikvah. And Amar, Ki Salakta Menos Yisrael, V'asya Mitfila, Mistakim Bi. And now, Rav Yochanan has a really interesting idea, and that is that when the women come out of the mikvah, the first thing that they're going to see is me, Evan Havalei, Zar de Shapir Kavasei, and they'll have children that are as beautiful as me. Rav Yochanan's beauty. Okay, we discussed this in this Masechta already. This is a topic that already came up, Rav Yochanan's beauty. You remember Rav Yochanan came into the room. We saw this just a couple weeks ago. And he rolled up his arm. And he lit up the room with just his arm. And the Gemara, a number of places, talks about Rav Yochanan's beauty, this being a primary place where the Gemara speaks about Rav Yochanan's beauty. And the Gemara just said that a week ago, that Rav Yochanan also was very heavy. So, okay, fine. So we have now two adjectives to describe Rav Yochanan. He was heavy and beautiful. Okay, good. So the... okay. Good. So the now here it's interesting because now there is the obvious question, which the Gemara doesn't ask the obvious question, and that is what about the Yetzer Hara? Now the Gemara asked that regarding Rav Gidol. The Gemara is not going to ask that by Rav Yochanan. So it's a curiosity why the Gemara doesn't ask that by Rav Yochanan. But the Gemara says, but however, Amalei Rabbanan La Kamistafe Marmi Me'ein Abisha. The Gemara says, okay, but look what's happening. You're basically attracting attention, and attracting attention, that's the Ayin Hara. So however you want to explain it, however you want to describe the Ayin Hara, it is a result of trying to attract attention onto yourself. And to which the Gemara says to Rav Yochanan, that's not something you're concerned about? So Amar Lei Anami Zari Yosef Ka'asina. He says, no, I'm not worried about it. No, not at all. I come from a lineage of Yichuds that goes back to Yosef. Delo Shalta Be'in Abisha. And for him, there was no Ayin Hara. Dichsiv. Ben Paras Yosef, Ben Paras Ale Ayin, Va'amar Rabbi Abba, Al Tikre Ale Ayin, Ela Ole Ayin. He's above the eye. So anyone who is a progeny of Yosef is not going to be subject to Ayin Hara. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chenin, Amar Mehacha, Vid Gula Rel, Vikarav Haaretz, and another pasuk that speaks to this idea when Yaakov is giving the brachas to his grandchildren. So he says that they should be like fish. Ma dagim should be am my mechasim aleim ein ein harashalotes b'hem avzar shel Yosef ein harashalotes b'hem ein ein harashalotes b'hem. So just like fish are below the surface and the water covers them and they're not subject to the ein hara, so too the children of Yosef, the generations of Yosef, are not subject to ein hara. Ibais ema ein shelo rasa lazon mimash ein shelo ein ein harashalotes b'hem. And the Gemara gives a third explanation why it is that the progeny of Yosef is not subject to the Ayin Hara, and that has to do with the actions of Yosef. Yosef was trying to be seduced by Eshes Potiphar, and what did he say to her? He says, you're not mine. You belong to another man. And so therefore, I cannot get benefit from something that doesn't belong to me. So therefore, that makes Yosef and all of his future generations impervious to the Ayin Hara. Okay. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of the first half of today's Amud. Basically, thematically, the first half of today's daf is dedicated to Mesiris Nefesh. Mesiris Nefesh, which is a continuation of yesterday's Gemara, as Rashi himself points out. And so just like in yesterday's daf, we talked about being moser nefesh, even if it means that it's going to be at an expensive kavod abrios. Again, going back to yesterday's daf, there is a balance. Sometimes kavod abrios is going to be doche, the halacha. And you have to go back to yesterday's daf to really appreciate when that when to strike that balance. But the overarching theme of yesterday's daf is that ein chachma vein tuna vein etzel neged Hashem. In other words, if there's a halacha, if there's an issur in the Torah, that's it. Even at the expense of your own dignity. And we continue today with the first half of today's daf with the continuation of the topic of Mesiras Nefesh. And Mesiras Nefesh creates a tremendous chuyos from, and that explains why the earlier generations were zocha for a Kadosh Baruch Hu's response right away, as opposed to the later generations. Even though the later generations had more limud HaTorah, but they didn't have the kind of Mesiras Nefesh that the earlier generations had. And the Gemara treated us to a number of really interesting stories regarding Mesiras Nefesh. It wouldn't fly. It wouldn't fly in our day and age. That's plain and simple. No. I understand. He was looking for a positive gain from it. Obviously, nowadays it would not create a positive gain. It would be a negative nowadays. So right. So it's hard to learn these Gemaras and try to see where the application of these Gemaras come in nowadays. I'm admitting it's difficult. It's really difficult. But if there's a positive gain, which presumably back then there was, you know, they saw Rav Yochanan as a way of beautifying their children. Just one more idea. Just before we continue with the second half of today's daf. And that is that the idea of what you look at is going to have an effect on the children, what the children are going to look like. So you go back to a couple parshios ago, right, by Yaakov and the sheep, and while the sheep were mating, so he had them looking at certain things, and it's an idea that expresses itself already in the Torah, back in Parshas Vayetze. Okay.
How come the Gemara talk about the previous generation and more nisim, but didn't mention anyone, no example?
Oh, wait, one example, the taking off from one shoe. Yeah. That was one example.
That was
a nace? Yeah. Okay. Not a nace, but right. In other words, Akash Baruch Hu responded just quicker. Okay. Okay. We continue now with the Mishnah. We are on the Mishnah at the very bottom of the Amud. We're back to Halacha. And again, the Petur Kriyashma. The Perek opened up a couple days ago with the Petur of Kriyashma. Who is Patur from Kriyashma? And Onin is going to be Patur from Kriyashma. And so now we're going to continue in the Gemara with others who are going to be Patur from Kriyashma. Nashim, Avadim, Ketanim, Petur, and Kriyashma. So women, slaves, and minors are going to be Patur from Kriyashma. Umin, we turn to the top of the next Amud, Umin HaTfilin, and also from the Mitzvah Tfilin, Vechayavim. However, they're going to be obligated in Tfilah, Mezuzah, Birchos HaMazon. The Mitzvah of Davening, the Mitzvah of putting a Mezuzah on the house, and benching. Okay, so there are... Just give me one second. Let me just first cover the Mishnah and then I'll pause. So there are a lot of interesting things to bring out over here, but let's first highlight a Rashi, a really, really significant Rashi on the Mishnah. If you turn back to the previous Amud, the Amud Aleph, and you look down at the bottom and you see Rashi Ketanim. So Rashi says, "Afilu katan shigia lechinuch, lo hitilo aviv lechancho b'kriyashma." So the Mishnah tells us that a katan is patur from kriyashma. Now katan, as we already discussed in our Masechta, can be broken up into two categories: a katan she'eno higia lechinuch and a katan she'higia lechinuch. Katan she'eno higia lechinuch. So that's the katan who is not chayv in mitzvos on any level, certainly not daraisa, but not even derabanan. There is not even a chinuch mitzvah midrabanan that he should be saying kriyashma every day. But Rashi says, I'll say even a bigger chiddush. In the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says a katan is going to be patur from kriyashma, it's even talking about a katan who has arrived at the age of chinuch, and that begs an explanation, because if the katan arrived at the age of chinuch, so of course he has to say kriyashma, meaning not on a daraisa level, but certainly on a derabanan level. Now you could read the Mishnah where the Mishnah means that they're patur on a daraisa level, but not on a derabanan level. But Rashi's not going to read the Mishnah that way, and here's what Rashi is going to say. Rashi writes, "Ketanim afil kanchi gila chinuch." Lo hitilo al aviv lechancho b'kriyashma. So even though we're talking about a child who's arrived at the age of chinuch, but there's no mitzvah chinuch for the father to teach and to teach his son how to say kriyashma. Why? Lefi she'eno matzu tami kishemagia zman kriyashma. Because where's the father at the time of kriyashma? So the father's in shul. The father's not at home. Obviously, meaning that's where the man is during kriyashma and shul davening. And so he's not home at the time, and therefore he's not going to be obligated in the mitzvah of chinuch. What's Rashi saying? So if you think about Rashi, really sit on this Rashi. So what Rashi's saying is that, look, there's a mitzvah of chinuch, there's a mitzvah for the father to educate the child. The mitzvah is primarily on the father, or is it on the child? Who is the one who's primarily obligated in this mitzvah of chinuch? It is pretty clear from Rashi that the mitzvah is on the father. It is the father's obligation to be mechanech his son. In other words, the chinuch obligation does not create an obligation within the child, but rather the obligation remains on the father. Now, if the father is not at present at the time, at any given point in time, so now there's no mitzvah of chinuch. The mitzvah of chinuch simply goes away simply because the father is not available at that point in time. Since the father's not home during the time of Kriyat Shema, so therefore there is no longer a mitzvah of chinuch. The Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that a katan is going to be pater, Rashi says, "Efilu higiel l'shas chinuch," and it's because the father's not around. We're going to see a Rashi later in the Masechta, but I'll highlight it now, only because I remember it now. So I'll highlight it now, and that is Rashi and Daf Mem Ches Med Aleph and Brachos. I know, it's some time from now, but not that long, about a month. So but Rashi over there writes on Mem Ches Med Aleph, V'im Tomer B'kan Shigil Echinuch Ha'amar Hachi, Ha'hu Afil Medrabban L'mechayv Da'ala Da'avu Hu D'Rami L'chinuchei. Rashi writes, it's a consistent Rashi, it's L'shita So. Rashi says that the mitzvah of chinuch is on the father. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole sugi over there. Rashi over there is dealing with an issue. But the point is that it is principally and primarily on the father to be mechanech his son. And the obligation of chinuch is nothing. I don't want to say it that strongly. I was going to say it has nothing to do with the kid. But according to Rashi, it doesn't create any obligation within the child. The obligation is principally is on the parent. It's only on the parent. It's a really interesting Rashi. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Kriya Shema is a Daraisa. What? To say Kriya Shema?
Yeah.
There is a Shita that Kriya Shema is the Rabbanan, but the accepted Shita is that Kriya Shema is a Daraisa. There is a Shita that's the Rabbanan, but the accepted Shita is that it's Daraisa. Okay, the Zmanim of Kriya Shema may be the Rabbanan. There's a Kesef Mishnah that speaks about that. Okay, anyway, Nashim Avadim Ketam Patur Mikriya Shema, and also they're going to be Patur from Tefillin as well. Rashi, another Rashi to highlight, top of the next Amud, why is the child Patur from Tefillin? Now remember, Rashi is convinced that the Mishnah is talking about where he arrives at the point of Chinuch. So again, it begs another explanation. So if you arrived at the point of Chinuch, so put on Tefillin. So Rashi writes, Mishum Destam Kadnei No Yodelish Margufo Shalo Yafiach. Because generally speaking, a child is not at the point where he can control his body. Meaning, yes, it would be it'd be advantageous to be mechanechim in the mitzvah of tefillin, but not at the expense where he's going to not be able to control his body, and that will be a bizayon to the kedushas of tefillin. And then the Mishnah went over three things that they are going to be obligated in. By the way, meaning all the people mentioned the Mishnah, Nashim, Avadim, Ketanim, and they are going to be obligated in tefillah, mezuzah, and birchas hamazon. So, and we're going to be discussing all this in detail in the Gemara. Okay, let's go. The Gemara starts off Kriyat Shema Pshita Mitzvah Sesei Shazman Grama Uvechol Mitzvah Sesei Shazman Grama Nashim Peturos. So the Gemara's first point is that what is the chiddush of the Mishnah? The chiddush of the Mishnah tells us that women are going to be exempt from Kriyat Shema. Of course women are going to be exempt from Kriyat Shema. It's a time-bound mitzvah. Women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. Women are also going to be exempt. Avadim are going to also be exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. Now it's interesting. Ketanim presumably are not bound by this guideline. But okay, we at least two of the three people for sure we know already are exempt based on the rule of mitzvah seseh shazman grama. Why would you have thought otherwise? Ma'od tema hovis bu machu shamayim kamash malan. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. Yeah, of course they're pater from mitzvah seseh shazman grama. And Shema is a mitzvah seseh shazman grama. However, there's also Kabbalah sol machu shamayim. When you're saying over the Shema, so you're being mekabel, the yoke of heaven. And that's critical and that's really important. And the Gemara spoke about it extensively in the first and second parakim. And so I might have thought that this would be a rule breaker because of the significance of Kabbalah sol machu shamayim. So therefore, they would have been obligated. Kamash malan. The chiddush is no. Min atfilim pshita ma'od detema ovid kishla mezuzah kamash malan. So the Gemara says again by mezuzah. Sorry, by tefillin. So the Gemara asked the same exact question by tefillin. It's a mitzvah sase shazman grama. So why would I thought differently? Why does the Mishnah have to mention it? So the Gemara says, because we know that tefillin is found in the same parsha as mezuzah. We know that women are obligated mezuzah. And I might have thought that the Hekesh would have taught us that women are also obligated in tefillin as well. Chiddushes are not obligated in tefillin. V'chayavim v'tefillah, they're obligated in tefillah. Okay, now we're going to the things that they are obligated in. They're obligated to daven. Now, when we say daven, we mean Shmon Esrei. Okay, now, the Amida. Now, we know that there is a mitzvah to daven. Here's what we're unsure about. And this is obviously the Gemara that is the source of this discussion. The obligation to daven, is that an obligation min haTorah, is that an obligation mid the Rabbanan? Right. Okay, so the Rambam writes that the obligation to daven is min haTorah. Yeah, I know, it's interesting. And many of the Rishonim disagree with the Rambam, notably the Ramban. The Ramban says that there is no mitzvah min haTorah to daven on a daily basis. And I'll show you Rashi today that certainly seems to be signing with the Ramban. The mitzvah to daven is de Rabbanan. And so now, that question is a really critical question, and it actually will affect, it has halacha l'maisa ramifications, but in terms of an understanding, a basic understanding of our Gemara, so it's going to play into our Gemara, you'll see. Our Gemara says that women are obligated to daven, v'chayavna b'tfila. Now the Gemara says, de rachamei ninhu. So the Gemara starts off with an explanation of why they're obligated to daven, because it's Rachmanis. In other words, you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have compassion on you. And every person needs to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he have Rachmanis upon us. Now, the Gemara then brings in another line. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you think about it, like, the Gemara has just rested its case. Meaning, women are obligated in tefillah. Why? Mishum derachame. Okay? In other words, case closed. So the next line of the Gemara, as you're going to see, is very controversial, whether it belongs in the Gemara, whether it does not belong in the Gemara. And even just from a standpoint of just simple understanding of the Gemara, it's an unnecessary line, because the case now has been made that women are obligated to daven. We're getting there. Well, the Gemara says, you know, in the Pasuk in Tehillim, describes how it's going to be in the night, in the morning, in the afternoon, giving a description of the times that we need to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now it turns into a mitzvah sesei shazman grama. It's a time-bound mitzvah. And therefore, women should be exempt because it's a time-bound mitzvah, as has been the explanation for Kriya Shema and for tefillin. And so therefore, women should be exempt from tefillah as well. That's the Havamina and Kamash Malan. And the Gemara says, and the Chiddush is that they're not going to be exempt. Now, take a look at Rashi over here. I sent you in the wrong direction. Take a look at Tosfos over here. There is a Rashi to look at. It's just the Rashi doesn't have a Divrei Maskil. So the Rashi writes, Hachi Garsinan, Tfila Derachamei Ninu. V'lo Ksi Pshita Dehalav Da'araisahi. So Rashi writes that this line of the Gemara, it's not necessary. Not only is it not necessary, it doesn't belong. Rashi says, why doesn't it belong? Because it's not a mitzvah da'araisa. To have a discussion of mitzvahs esei shazman grama versus mitzvahs esei she'ina zman grama, so it has to be a mitzvah min haTorah. Meaning, if it's a rabbinic mitzvah, so then it's not shaykh to say, well, is it a mitzvah sesei shazman grama, it's a mitzvah sesei she'ina zman grama. Those definitions and delineations are only for mitzvahs min haTorah. And Rashi says, since davening is a mitzvah min haRabbanan and not mitzvah min haTorah, so then this whole discussion, I mean, it's two lines of Gemara, but this statement of the Gemara that, well, I might have thought it's a mitzvah sesei she'ina zman, she'hazman grama, says Rashi, that whole line doesn't belong. Because davening is not a mitzvah min haTorah, it's a mitzvah midrabbanan. And therefore, it's just simply not relevant. It's N.A. Not applicable in this discussion. That's Rashi. Tosfos over here, the top Tosfos, I'm not going to go through it right now, also picks up on this point as well. And so, the girsa of the Gemara is in question. This issue of whether women are obligated to daven, women are obligated to daven, period. Let's start there. This question of whether women are obligated to daven, min haTorah, midrabbanan, So it has a number of ramifications. Not going to go through it right now, but just know that practically speaking, it plays out in terms of what exactly they should be davening. Okay.
Well, they say tefillah. It doesn't tefillah usually refer to Shema.
Yes.
You're talking about davening mincha, maariv, and
shacharit. There's much more. I know the Gemara over here is just like the springboard for a lot of discussions. But I'm gonna press along. But you get the basic idea. That's a rabbinic question. It's a rabbinic question. We're learning the Gemara right now. Okay. So the answer, by the way, is yes.
You're
right now? Okay. No, I'm not. Right now, we're just learning the Gemara. Amar Vada Bar Ava, continuing. I'm sorry. I skipped. Mezuzah. Thank you. Over mezuzah, pshita ma'od detema hovet kishla tamatora kamash malan. Now, women are obligated mezuzah. Now, again, the Gemara is just pushing on why would I need a Mishnah to tell me a point which I think I knew already. So the Gemara says, because we know that the mitzvah of mezuzah is contained in the same parsha that teaches us the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. We know that women are exempt from Talmud Torah. And since women are exempt from Talmud Torah, I might have constructed an argument that what we are looking at is a hekesh, and therefore women are exempt from mezuzah as well. And the Gemara is telling us that there is no hekesh that is to be made. Benching birkas ha-mazon pshita ma'udetei ma'ol v'uksiv. Now, as far as benching is concerned, women are obligated. The Gemara says, obviously, why would I have thought differently? And the Gemara says, I'll tell you why I would have thought differently. So the Pasuk in Parshas Bishalach describes that eating is connected to the time of day. So the lechem is given to us in the evening. Meat is given to us in the morning. Okay, yeah. Fleishik for breakfast. Okay. I'm sorry. It is the other way. Lechem, right? Meseis Hashem lechem. Be'erev baso lecho, v'lechem ba'boker l'sbala. Thank you. Okay, fine. Corrected. Thank you. So anyway, so k'mitzvah sesei shehazman gramadami, so therefore it's like a mitzvah sesei. It's a time-bound mitzvah. So k'mash malan, the Gemara says, so the chiddush is that it's not a time-bound mitzvah, and therefore women are obligated. Women are obligated to bench. Again, well, I'll do the same thing. Women are obligated to get bench, period. And now, the question, is that obligation min haTorah, is that obligation min derabbanan? So here's what we're going to learn together let's first cover the next bit of Gemara. We're going to come back to benching. Women are obligated to say Kiddush on Shabbos, and that's Dvar Torah, meaning that is min haTorah. So amay mitzvah seseh shazman gramu, v'chol mitzvah seseh shazman gramu p'tur. So the Gemara says, that's a time-bound mitzvah. Meaning today's Thursday, there's no mitzvah for us to say Kiddush today. And meanwhile, tomorrow night, so there's a mitzvah to say Kiddush. Obviously, it's time-bound. And so you're telling me that women are obligated, isn't it a time-bound mitzvah? So Abayi starts off by suggesting, well, maybe their obligation to say Kiddush is only a din d'rabbanan, not a din d'oraisa. So Amalei Rava v'hadvar Torah kamar, so Rava says, no, it can't be right. It says Dvar Torah. V'od kol mitzvah says, say nischayv midrabbanan. And on top of that, all positive commandments nechayvim midrabbanan. Well, once you're opening up that Pandora's box of, well, I know they're not obligated in the Torah, but the rabbis require them to do so. Are you going to say that by every positive commandment that's time bound that they're exempt from, and we're going to just simply say, oh, but don't worry, the chachamim, we're obligating them? But that's not true. Elam Rava, so Rava says no. When we say that they're obligated in Kiddush Min HaTorah, first of all, it means they're obligated in HaTorah. So and as far as the question of it, but it's a time bound mitzvah. Elam Rava, I'm across the Chor v'Shamor. Kol sheyeshnu b'shmira, yeshnu b'zechira. V'hanin neshei, hol v'yeshnu b'shmira, yeshnu b'zechira. So the Gemara says, okay, look, the Torah introduces us to Shabbos and the Aseres Hadibros. The Aseres Hadibros is written twice in the Torah. Once in Parshas Yisro, a second time in Parshas Vezchanan. And you'll notice that there are discrepancies, subtle discrepancies between the way it's written in Yisro versus the way it's written in Vezchanan. In Yisro, it says, Zachros Yom HaShabbos Kadosho. In Vezchanan, it says, Shamor. So now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he says it B'dibur Echad. Okay? And the Gemara notes the number of times that we can't do that. We can't say those two words, B'dibur Echad. But obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can. And what do we learn out from here? That anyone who is subject to the rules of Shamor, which means to safeguard the Shabbos, that's all the prohibitions of Shabbos, is also going to be subject to the rules of Zachor. And that's the positive commandments of Shabbos. And so therefore, yes, it's a mitzvah seseh shehazman hagrama. However, because of the Zachar Shamor unison, so therefore they are obligated both on the negative, which is that's the given, and they're also going to be obligated in the positive as well. Now, what also is included in the positive, meaning the Gemara here is seemingly giving us a rule that they're obligated in all the positive commandments of Shabbos. So can we list off the positive commandments of Shabbos? So, Kiddush.
Oneg.
Right. Oneg. Right. Oneg is interesting. I tend to agree with you. Lecha Mishnah. So it's not clear. In other words, what the Gemara is certainly clear about is that Kiddush falls under the category of one of the positives of Shabbos. What else is of the positive Shabbos? So the Gemara is not clear about that. Okay. So certainly something to think about. Amalei Ravina L'Rava Nashim B'Birchas Hamazon D'Oraisa D'Rabban. Now we come back to benching. Okay. By the way, I'm bypassing a lot of discussion of the women's obligation to make Kiddush, which is a Din D'Oraisa, as we learned together. So many sub-discussions that we're not having. Are they all right? Can they be motzi other people? Are they also obligated in Havdalah? And a litany of questions that come out from this Gemara. And unfortunately, we just scraped the very surface. The Gemara continues. Now we'll come back to benching. Women are obligated in benching. Now, we've already established that women are obligated in benching. The Mishnah says it. And the Gemara says, I might have thought it's Mitzvah Seseh Shah's Mangrama. It's not. Women are obligated in benching. Now, here comes the follow-up question. Is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? Okay, now, we're going to learn together in the 6th and 7th parak of our Masechta that there is an obligation to bench min ha-Torah. Now, that's unusual because it's a bracha, and brachos in general are dine d'rabbanan. The rabbis instituted the bracha. The berachos shevach, the berachos hanah, the berachos ha-mitzvah, those are dine d'rabbanan. And where is the moment where we're making a bracha and we're fulfilling by making the bracha a mitzvah d'araisa? And benching is one of those rare moments. Birchas haTorah, another one. But benching is a mitzvah min haTorah. So therefore, when we eat and we're full and we're benching, by benching we're fulfilling a mitzvah min haTorah. Okay. We've also established that women are obligated to bench. And the only question now the Gemara wants to know is there a level of obligation a din d'araisa or a din d'rabbanan? So this is the Gemara's question. Now, why is this a question? So we're gonna explore that in just a moment. But first, I'm just gonna go through the Gemara. L'mayin afkamin, the Gemara wants to know what practical difference would there be? So l'afuke rabbi b'dei chavasim, can they be motzi men? So we know the rule is that you could be motzi somebody else if you're on the same obligation. If you're not in the same level of obligation, if your level of obligation is lower than the other person, then you can't be motzi the other person. So, if their obligation is a daraisa obligation, so therefore they can be motzi a man, who's certainly obligated in the Torah. And, and if their obligation is darabanan, so that means that on a daraisa level, they're not obligated. And if they're not obligated, so therefore they cannot be motzi amen. Meaning, if they're not obligated on a d'oraisa level, so then they can't be motzi amen. Amen. So, Amai, the Gemara wants to know. So, can we have a conclusion on this matter? Tashma. So, the Gemara says, okay, I will quote the Mishnah in Sukkah. The Mishnah in Sukkah writes, "Bamas Amru ben Mevarch La'aviv." A son could bench for his father. So, back in the day, benching. So, one person would bench, the other person would listen, and that's how you would be motzi somebody else. Now, you can only be motzi somebody else if you're on the same level. So a child can be mevarch for his father. And Eved mevarch l'rabo. And Eved Kenani can bench for his master. V'isha mevareches l'bala. And a woman can bench for her husband. Aval amr chachamim, but the chachamim said, tova me'er la'adam she'ishto v'nav mevarchim lo. But woe to the man that's in this position. Meaning, that person's uneducated, and the Gemara, generally speaking, takes a very hardline position of a person who has the ability to educate himself and doesn't do so. And the Gemara says, tova lo me'er. It's inexcusable. Wait one second. So the Gemara says, look, the woman now is benching on behalf of the man. So that means that she has to be on a Daraisa level. We know he's on a Daraisa level, so she has to be on a Daraisa level as well. But if her level of obligation is on a Darabanan, and his level is on a Daraisa, she can't be motzi him. So the Gemara says, okay, But look at the examples that were given over here. One of the examples was a katan. A katan can't be motzi an adult. A katan, according to everyone, is a din derabanan. So the Gemara says that we're talking about where the man did not eat to the point of satiation. He did not eat kidei sevia. We're going to learn later in the Masechta, in the seventh parak, the obligation in the Torah is only v'achalta v'savata uveirachta. Only when you're soveya, then you're obligated to bench Minatara. But if you have a kezayis, you're obligated to bench, but that obligation is only midarabanan, it's not midaraisa. So the Gemara is suggesting that the case in the Mishnah Sukkah is a case where he did not eat kedei sviya, he only ate a kezayis. Parenthetically, the Gemara says the shiura derabanan. We're going to learn later in the Masechta. What is the shir derabanan? It could be a kezayis, could be a kebetza. Okay, but I say that all parenthetically. In other words, but the basic point is that he's only eating an amount that requires him to bench midderabanan, and the son or the wife now is eating, their obligation to bench is midderabanan, and that's how one can be motzi the other. But lu yitzu, had it been the case where he was soveya, so then she can't bench on his behalf. The Gemara leaves this question as an unresolved question. The question of women's obligation to bench is daraisa or derabanan. It's an unresolved question, and so that's it. The Gemara leaves it off, and the Rishonim already deal with the basic issue of so what should we do? Meaning, if the question leaves it off as an unresolved question, okay. Let's leave it like that. Okay. Give me 1 second. I want to just go back to the Pshuto Shel Gemara. Okay, the Gemara says that women are obligated either on a Daraisa level or on a Darabanan level. Now, let's spend a couple of minutes together going over what are the two sides of the Gemara. Why would they be obligated Minotaur? Why would they only be obligated Midarabanan? What is the Gemara grappling with over here in that the Gemara is unsure in terms of their level of obligation? So we'll start with Rashi. Rashi writes over here that women are obligated Minotaur. Why? Because the Pasuk says, Va'achalta va'achalta v'savata. That you're going to eat, you're going to be satiated, and then, right, Rashi, you know, figures we know the rest of the pasuk, uve rachta, and you're going to bench, and Rashi writes, v'habalei mitzvah sesei she'enes man grama. It's not a time about mitzvah. When am I going to eat today? I got great news for everybody. It's none of your business, and I can choose. In other words, it's not a time about mitzvah. Now, yes, it's true on Shabbos and on Yontov, there are moments in time where we are obligated to eat, but generally speaking, eating is volitional, and when you eat is certainly volitional, and it's not a time by mitzvah, and therefore women are obligated. That's side A. What's side B? What's the other side of the issue? So really interesting Rashi. Rashi writes, "Od rabbanan dechsiv al ha'aretz tova asher nasan lach." Now, if you continue in the pasuk, the Torah says, "Va'achalta v'savata v'rachta es Hashem Elokecha al ha'aretz tova asher nasan lach." There's a clear connection to benching in Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz lo nitna lenekevos, and Eretz Yisrael was not given to the women. Lehischalek, as the original division and distribution of Eretz Yisrael, it was given to the men. The men were Yoresh Eretz Yisrael. V'imishum b'nor Slavchad, and Rashi says, and I know what you're going to ask me. You're going to ask me about the doors of Slavchad. Chelak aviyim heim denatlu. Well, that was just simply the portion of their father that received Shayu Yotzim Mitzrayim, who in fact was one of Yotzim Mitzrayim. Right, we learned back in Baba Basra a long time ago. We learned in Baba Basra extensively the idea of how Yotzei Mitzrayim, the men of Yotzei Mitzrayim, were the ones who received a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Fine. So Rashi says, so because women are not receiving a chelik of Eretz Yisrael, because of the connection between benching and Eretz Yisrael, so therefore women would not be obligated on Daraisa level, but they still would be obligated on Darabanan level. The Chachamim mandated them to do so. That's Rashi. Tosos over here writes, Nashim Bebirchos Hamazon Daraisa Darabanan. So the first section of Tosfos we're going to skip because he just quotes Rashi. And then Vitema, like about 7 lines down in that Tosfos, he writes, Kohanim v'levim namiti bai sharei lo natlu chelik baretz, v'im kein lo yitziya achem yidei chavasam. What a sharp question by Tosfos. If the issue is a question of Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, so Tosfos says, I got news for you. So you know who also didn't get a portion in Eretz Yisrael? So the Kohanim v'levim didn't get a portion in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't get a chelik of Eretz Yisrael. Now they did get federal property. Right, they did receive Ari Mikla, but Tosfos clearly is of the position. Okay, good, good, but that's federal property. That's not state property. They didn't get a state. They didn't get a chelik as a shevet. So now, according to Rashi, you want to tell me that a Kohen and a Levi can't be most of the others? And just think of the irony, by the way, whenever a situation you're benching and you have a Zeman. So who do you turn to in order to lead the benching? You turn to a Kohen. Now it comes out, according to this Rashi, he's the last person you should turn to. Okay.
Good question.
So Eli Yeshlamar, so Tosfos therefore gives a different shot. Again, why are women obligated only midrabban, not midaraisa? So Tosfos says a different shot. Tosfos says Eli Yeshlamar, the time of Mishim Dechsev, Abris Chashachasamta Bitsarinim, Valtoros Chashalimaratanim. Because part of the nusach of benching is bris and Torah. V'nashim lasu lo b'bris v'lo b'Torah. Now women are exempt from bris and women are exempt from learning Torah. V'amila kaman, and Tosfos says we're going to learn together in the seventh parak of our Masechta, mishalo amr bris v'Torah b'birchas ha-mazal lo yafsi yidei chavaso. That somebody who did not say neither bris and Torah has received a failing grade for saying benching. Meaning lo yafsi yidei chavaso, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. And so therefore they are critical components of benching. And since women are not obligated neither in Bris and Torah, and the critical components of benching, so therefore that means that women are not obligated in the Torah to bench. Okay, that's Tosfos' explanation of the Gemara. So let's just quickly recap benching. Benching, women are obligated, period. Is there a level of obligation to Raisa de Rabbanan? Open-ended question. What is the question going to be predicated on? So according to Rashi, they're obligated in the Torah because it's a mitzvah sesei she'enas mangrama. They only are obligated midrabanan because of the connection of benching in Eretz Yisrael. And since they don't receive a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore min haTorah, they're not obligated to bench. That's Rashi. According to Tosfos, presumably, he explains the daraisa for the same manner. It's a mitzvah seseh she'enas mangrama, and so therefore they're obligated to bench min haTorah. Or according to Tosfos, he dismisses Rashi. He doesn't like Rashi. Or according to Tosfos, it has to do with the fact that critical component of benching is briska and val toraska. And women are not obligated neither in Bris and Torah, and so therefore they wouldn't be obligated in bench min ha-Torah. Okay, Adkan. And again, as far as the Gemara's conclusion is concerned, Gemara leaves it as an open-ended question in terms of their level of obligation, whether they're obligated min ha-Torah or mid rabbanan. I'll ask the question knowing that there is a really significant rush written on this topic right here in our Gemara, and that is, what about a ravus? What about Kol Yisrael Raven Zebazeh? So can't women bench on behalf of man because of the din of arevus? Meaning, even though I haven't eaten, but in other words, I have to make assured that not only do I fulfill mitzvahs, but you may fulfill mitzvahs as well. And so arevus tells us that one could be motzi another person, even though he himself is not obligated.
So
that's what the rush discusses. See the rush over there. I'll go over it after. Okay. So Darash Rav Avira, just finishing up over here. Rav Avira Darshan Zimnin Amalei Mishmei Rav Ami Zimnin Amalei Mishmei Rav Asi Amar Malach Sharos Lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim say to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam Kasub Besar Secha Asher Lo Yisa Panim Velo Yikach Shochad. Okay. So in one pasuk in the Torah, so you Hakadosh Baruch Hu describe yourself as somebody who does not accept any type of bribery and does not show any type of favoritism, meaning how do you operate the world? With laws and rules. And look at the laws of nature, right? Can't break them, right? Gravity, it's a tough rule to break. So and you operate in the same manner. And meanwhile, when it comes to B'nai Yisrael, so you bend the rules. You show them favoritism. You're Yisa Panim.
What did he complain about that?
No, the Malachim complained. The Malachim were not happy about that. So Amalem v'chilos upon him Yisrael. So his response, Hakadosh Baruch Hu's response, is, "What do you mean? Am I not supposed to show favoritism to them? Shekasavti lam b'tor v'achalta v'savato v'irachtos Hashem Elokecha. I told them to bench, but when did I tell them to bench? When they're soveya, when they're full. V'heim adaktikin alatzmam ad kizayis v'ad kibetsa. And as far as they're concerned, they start benching after eating either kizayis or kibetsa. Again, it's a machlokus later in terms of what the minimum shear is in order to bench." But they take it upon themselves to bench even at a lesser amount. And so therefore, look, they take on more than what I tell them to do. So of course I'm gonna show them favoritism. And I'm gonna extend to them a certain amount of a courtesy. Okay. Let's recap our day. We're gonna start with the Mishnah tomorrow, because the Mishnah really and tomorrow's daf are all one big sugya. Okay, so let's recap our day today. Today's daf chaf in Brachos. We'll break it up into the Amud Aleph, Amud Beis, in terms of organization. Amud Aleph, Mesiras Nefesh. Okay, that is a recap of Amud Aleph of today's daf. More examples of Mesiras Nefesh and the value of Mesiras Nefesh and the nisim that come as a result of Mesiras Nefesh. That's Amud Aleph. Okay, Amud Beis. Amud Beis, we talked about women as obligation Women's exemption from Shema and from Tefillin, and women's obligation in Tefillah, Mezuzah, and Birchas Hamazon. And just to quickly summarize those points, as far as, and not only women, by the way, Nashim, Avadim, and Ketanim, right? All three of them are going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Shema and Tefillin, but are going to be obligated in Tefillah, Mezuzah, and Birchas Hamazon. In terms of Shema and Tefillin, so Shema, why does the Mishnah teach us? Oh, it needs to teach us that because the Gemara said it has Kabbalah Sol Mechus Shemaim. That's really important. I therefore would have thought that women should be obligated. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. As far as Tefillin is concerned, so the Tefillin is in the same Parsha as Mezuzah. Women are obligated in Mezuzah. Therefore, I would have thought they're obligated in Tefillin as well. They're not obligated in Tefillin. That's the Chiddush there. Tefillah. So big discussion in the Gemara. Not a lot of Gemara. Not a lot of real estate in the Gemara. But important discussion in the Gemara, why women are obligated in tefillah. So the Gemara says, Rachamei Ninhu, because they need to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for compassion. They need to talk to Hashem. And so therefore they're obligated in tefillah. Is that obligation min HaTorah midrabanan? The Gemara does not say. Rashi in our Gemara writes very clearly that their obligation is midrabanan. The Rambam writes that their obligation is min HaTorah. And that is a really critical achlokus to remember. In terms of mezuzah, women are obligated mezuzah. Why would I have thought differently? It's the mitzvah says she'enas man grama, because it's in the same parsha of Talmud Torah, and women are exempt from Talmud Torah. Therefore, I might have thought they are exempt from mezuzah.
Mezuzah fee of an abayis and not on the first.
Okay, could be. But if the woman owns the house, you know, if she's obligated. That's a simple point of the Gemara. And finally, benching. Women are obligated to bench. The Gemara says I might have thought it's a mitzvah seseh shazman grama. It's not a mitzvah seseh shazman grama. You can eat any time that you'd like. In terms of their level of obligation for benching, it's either daraisa or it's derabanan. And the Gemara went back and forth on this issue. And why is it only a derabanan? So we went over that this morning between Rashi and Tosos, each one offering their pshat in terms of why it is that women are obligated only on the derabanan level and not on a daraisa level. One other point of review in today's daf that the Mishnah did not mention, but the Gemara did, and that's Kiddush. Women are obligated in Kiddush min HaTorah. Why are they obligated in Kiddush min HaTorah? Because Shamar V'Zachar or B'Dibur Echad. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu issued the Aseret HaDibros, and when he got to Shabbos, he said Zachor and he said Shamor, and he said them simultaneously. And because women are obligated in the Shmira aspect of Shabbos, that's a negative prohibition, so they're also going to be obligated in the positive aspects of Shabbos, and that would be Kiddush.